This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
This episode of the KMP Show is brought to you by Ticket Network. The MLB season is in full swing, and the number one place to get tickets to your favorite team is ticketnetwork.kandpshow.com. That's ticketnetwork.kandpshow.com. Ticket Network has the tickets where you want them, when you want them, at the best prices available. Use our exclusive link, ticketnetwork.kandpshow.com, to support the show. We thank you. That's ticketnetwork.kandpshow.com. Welcome, everybody, to the KMP Show, episode number 37. I am your host, Jonathan Playtech, and with me, as always, is my good friend, Mr. Rich Craich. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. We've got a ton of stuff to talk about, and oddly enough, there's going to be, in the plethora of things that we have to discuss today, there is going to be a measure of almost exactly how long it's been since we last did a show, because moving forward, we're going to try our hand at a radio bit, and we are going to have, did we decide
prank
on
calls.
Judges Chambers? Prank calls? Okay, all right.
Oh,
so
what is it? No, I got.
We're
going to
study the Jerky Boys, and
yeah,
then,
what are we doing? I don't know if I'm aware of this. I thought we were just going to call people and make prank calls, but
well, I mean that too. Yes, and
oh, okay.
We're gonna do the prank calls. You know, is your kitchen running? And
is your kitchen running?
Or your refrigerator? Or your
I like
kitchen?
The idea of a kitchen running. You're
How
like,
about just bad?
I don't know.
Like, that's the bit. Bad prank calls. It's
right,
us just
like,
doing
well,
bad
not
prank
the joke
call
that
bits.
I thought of, and we're like, ah, idiot. And then we like, yeah,
right. And then we swear at them a bunch and hang up.
Right, or we can do like the really shock jockey thing and be like, "Your wife died" or whatever, and they're like, "Oh God!" Like, "Oh no, I didn't." Like I've heard those
things
like,
that
dude,
are totally
like,
not pre-recorded
funny.
With an
yeah.
actor.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Like that's a that's not funny, and b yeah, like it's just like another act because you can tell like they both have like Syracuse voices.
Right,
it's like I didn't know, and it's like
oh,
dude, that's
know.
Not a phone. Like that's a very like. Your phone sounds amazing if that's your phone.
Right, your phone sounds like an RE20 hooked up to a
right
to a studio setup. It's weird that like this quality over a POTS phone system. I don't think that's man, my wife died. I wasn't really expecting
yeah, like sweet
that.
You know, like these really deep baritone voices. You can tell it's.
But you know they can't do that anymore because I think the FCC like actually like you have to tell somebody that they're on the radio.
Right. Yeah.
You can't pretend or obfuscate or do any of that stuff. So
is that
means
every
the,
state we got. Is that every state? Because that's really gonna.
I don't think we're governed by the FCC because this is a podcast.
Okay. So we could still randomly call people.
We can do whatever we want.
Yeah, it's
I mean
wild,
within
wild
reason,
here,
of course. Yeah. I don't know. You know, I was looking. I tweeted about it, Rich. And you can follow the show at KANDP Show on Twitter. You can follow me at John's Voices. You can check out Voices of Wrestling and the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network at Voices Wrestling. I tweeted about it, and I noticed that Blog Talk Radio, our old stomping grounds, is researching a high bandwidth connection direct to their virtual studio, and that would allow for crystal clear. I think it's 128 kilobits per second, which isn't that's CD quality technically. I think CD quality audio connection from Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I like it
live. The only problem. Is that their terms of use demand that their RSS, the RSS they create for your show, be the primary RSS. Like, that's in the terms and conditions.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
You know, I was thinking, yeah. Because I will say this, there is no other live broadcasting platform that has the call-in feature of Blog Talk Radio, which is really all I care about.
Right, it's all we've ever cared about.
I just
want to
take calls. I just want to figure out how to take calls and screen calls like professionally, not just, hi, you're on the KMP Show, go ahead. Penis. And
yeah,
then they
right.
hang up.
Because that was our issue with 643 Sports is like, yeah, we took calls, but they were all horrible. And like most radio calls are horrible, but there are some that are good. And it'd be nice to actually know that it's like a good call coming in. I shouldn't say they were all horrible. We had like...
We had a couple guys doing bits who were pretty good. Yeah, my buddy Kyle.
He called in a few times. Every time he called was good. We had like a few people call in that was okay. But yeah, like 95% of them were absolute.
Like Pastor Pat doing a bit would just derail. I live in an A-frame house and I drink tab soda.
Every show. Like, what are you doing? Not with our
show.
Wife?
It wasn't just our show. It wasn't anybody we knew. We thought it was. I had it narrowed down to a few people, but they confided in me, like, no, really, it's not me. And this guy called, this guy would just troll blog talk radio shows.
What is
with
going
the
on
lamest
with your
troll bit ever? Like, if you're gonna troll, I get trolling fundamentally in a certain aspect, in a certain light, trolling can be funny.
I think you should jump in a lake of acid, but you know, hey, if
right,
that's
yeah,
your thing,
you
then,
know what? Okay. Ha, 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 yeah, I fucked your mom. Yeah, woohoo! But I think trolling can be funny, but when your troll bit is an old Southern, almost Southern gentleman, not quite Frank Underwood, not
yeah,
quite.
Yeah, I was going to say he's like from like Louisiana or something like that. Or
yes, he's more
you
that
ever
watched Bayou.
American Horror Story?
No. No.
Okay, then you won't get this reference.
No, wait, which one? The most recent one.
This is like one of the, yeah, I forgot. The seasons mix up to me. Everybody stopped watching after like the first season. Rightfully so, you should have, because it kind of got off the rails afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even going to make the reference, but there's like an old, like, I suppose he's supposed to be homosexual. Like a homosexual, like, Louisiana, like, fortune teller guy or whatever.
Oh.
And that essentially was the Pastor Pat. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what Pastor Pat was going for.
Was the
was,
the homosexual Southern
but
Bayou
it might not even be homosexual.
Fortune teller?
It could be like a flamboyant. I don't think they outwardly say that he's homosexual. You know what I mean? Like, but there
right,
are those...
it's that mode of speech.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. So I don't know if they like they imply it a little bit with this guy, but it's more of the like there are guys that are Southern gentlemen that just are kind of flamboyant, and that's kind of how they speak. Is that this?
Yeah.
And that's what Pastor Pat kind of was. So
right in outside of that context, speaking that way is usually taken as. I think flamboyant is probably the best way to describe it. Yeah. And it just was the lamest bit ever. And it would derail the show. Like Rich and I would try to go with it as best we could, but because he didn't want to talk sports. Now, I will give you this. If you can do that voice and then talk sports and you have some hot takes to sling, then you got yourself a trolling shtick, my friend.
Right. Well, he would occasionally, but it would mostly be like, oh, these players these days don't play like how I remember them. And then we'd ask him for like specific things, and that's all he knew. So it was just basically like you jump in with like, oh, back in the 20s.
We'd try to build the machine with him of improv. We'd try to like, okay, let's kick this bit down this can down the street to like, all right, let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. And he just didn't want to keep it going because the bit was not. It wasn't three-dimensional. It was very just two-dimensional, very shallow, nothing at all to it. But I think, you know, I think taking calls would be cool in a live platform, you know, and...
I think between the two of us, we both have a reach now that, like, of intelligent people that would call in and have some good discussions. I'm sure if we said, hey, we're doing a live call-in show, I'm positive we would see people. I mean, we saw that a little bit on Voices of Wrestling. We did some tests with Shake Them Ropes, which was one of our shows. And those were good. They were really good calls or whatever. And I know, obviously, you've done your live streams and stuff and had, you know, very good response from those and people that have sort of contributed to those. So I think at this point, where we are in our careers and all that sort of stuff, I think it could be really fruitful if we ended up being able to do it. So
I just got to figure out how to do it. I think there's a service that does it. But it's like per minute base.
Yeah, which is...
And, you know, I don't know... You know, I don't want to be outlaying for money and then, like, pay for an hour to call in and sit on this server and nobody's going to call. Or people are going to call. Or, you know, it's just... It would have to be something that's added on later after, like, first you go to a live show. And then once you do the live show, then you add the ability to take calls. Because that's one thing that I think that even live shows... You know, because I see Twitch TV now has talk shows, not just gaming talk shows. They'll let you host a talk show about pretty much anything. And that was something I was thinking about a couple days ago. But formative stages is kicking something around. What really kicked it off was looking at Blog Talk Radio and seeing that they'd finally invested or thought, hey, maybe we should figure out how to do high bandwidth audio connections so that phone or, you know, Our quote radio shows don't sound like phone, like they're coming in over a phone.
Yeah, the quality was terrible, and that's really I think that's honestly something, you know, as we've seen podcasts sort of grow since, you know, when we we're starting 643 Sports. The idea of, you know, listening later to a show is just completely unfathomable to us. It was like, no, it's a live show or whatever. And then obviously podcasts have taken over the last few years. I do think now that there is probably a little bit more of a growing sense of people that want to contribute a little bit more and also, you know, listen live and then also in their own sense contribute. Like you're seeing with streams and stuff like that. That's a big deal. People want to kind of be there in the moment. You know, podcasts are fun for a lot of people, but there are people too that just want to jump in, you know, while the thing's going on, while the discussion's going on, while it's live or whatever. So yeah, I think there's a market for that, and it really hasn't been met yet at this point. So it'd be cool to see if that
yeah. So I'm basically going to bring a live sports talk live stream podcasts to Twitch is what I'm thinking. I think that's the next frontier. It's a really niche, you know, because I think if you did a Venn diagram of how many people are watching Twitch at any given time, what subset of those people are also sports fans? It's got to be like 99%, right? Like 99% of the people watching Twitch TV and video game streams and chicks with their boobs out while they play WoW, those guys also want to talk about like PK Subban and Aaron Judge. Don't you think?
I don't know. You are more familiar with the Twitch fan base.
They don't. I they really don't. Not. They don't. Like, you'll find a diamond in a rough, like guys that are like, yeah, I also like sports, but mostly it's sports.
Is it really? Okay. See, I'm not too familiar. Like, I wonder what the sport games. I guess your crossover would be the people that watch
sports games
like streams. Yeah, that would be probably your market there versus like the real like. I'm watching the Street Fighter V tournament or whatever. Like, you know, I'm in hour 9 of this intense Street Fighter V tournament. And then
wait a minute. Somebody's talking about the AL East. All right. Well, I got to click on that shit right now. Yeah.
Screw this. Screw this.
Woo. AL East breakdown, taking calls. Yeah. Hi. Long time listener, first time caller. I don't know. Is Mike Francesa calling into my show now? I think that's where I got it.
Might be looking for things to do here in a little bit. So.
Yeah, he's Mike Francesa is just he's starting to get a little uppity now because basically now all of his calls are trolls.
Right.
All of his they're always making jokes about him falling asleep, and he's getting a little antsy about it. But you know, again, he's making $4 million a year, and I'm not. So
you're not okay.
Yeah, no.
Have your checks not been coming in?
Oh, really? Oh, so I'm missing out. Oh, okay. So,
yeah,
all right. So you're just holding on to all the K&P show money.
I might have the wrong address. Yeah, I haven't been getting returns, so someone's getting those. That's
So somebody's getting all my K&P money.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well,
that's not good.
We'll
have to clarify your address.
Right. Yeah. Get me in touch
with HR.
We'll
do it at the end of the show. At the end of the show, you give me your address live on air, and we'll.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. I'll be sure to. I'll tweet that out too, just to make sure.
Just
you
to confirm,
it.
Then I'll have it, and I'll favorite it, and then I'll be able to see it forever, and then I'll make sure.
Do you need my social too? Because
It couldn't hurt. It could not hurt at all.
Right, yeah. Because you know you got a you got a 1099 me to the government, and I think that I don't remember if I had that on file. Tell you what, I'll put it in a PDF. Yeah, and then tweet that out too. Just to make sure, and then if you can just go ahead and make sure that all that gets to HR.
Yeah, sure. I apologize. No,
it's fine.
It's these interns. They don't
a big company like this, a multinational media corporation. I mean, stuff's going to get lost in the cogs, I guess, all the time.
You know, you hire these interns. These interns coming for the summer. They don't know what the hell they're doing. They're just
they don't. They have no idea. They're in there from Choate, and they have. Just got to get my media experience and
kids these days.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of kids these days, speaking of kids these days, actually,
who's the youngest person that we could talk about on our
of the topics? I was going to say Aaron Judge, but he's already 25.
Think. He's a little older. Yeah,
actually, the youngest would be the NBA draft and Markelle Fultz. Now likely to go to the 76ers after the big news of the day, or I guess yesterday, last night, is that when it was confirmed?
Yeah, I think Sunday night it came through, or Saturday night, Sunday night, somewhere around there.
Okay.
But it's still
Saturday
fresh.
Was the rumbling. Saturday was the, you know.
It was made official as of this afternoon. We're recording this on Monday, the 19th, and it was made official on the afternoon of today, so.
So the Boston Celtics, holder of the number one overall pick for Thursday's draft, have, by way of Brooklyn, for that awful, awful, awful. Like, they might have the number one overall pick again next year.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, statistically speaking, it's improbable that they will, because you only have a 25% chance of winning the lottery, even if you have the best chance at it, meaning the worst record. So that means 2 years in a row, even if you suck, you are the worst in the league, you have 0.25 times 0.25. It's multiplicative in terms of hitting on both. And so that chance would be 0.25 times 0.25.
We've noticed you, because I have
it would
no
be
idea what you're
six and a half,
anymore.
A six and a quarter
okay.
percent.
There you go.
You have a 6.25% chance of hitting both. So it is very unlikely that even if the Nets are the worst team in basketball next year as well.
Which is a good chance, because they are.
Which is a good chance.
So.
But given that they've already been the worst team and got, and therefore, you know, their lottery pick turning
right,
into number
right.
one overall.
It's going to be a good pick regardless.
Yes,
I mean,
it's
going to
be.
Yeah,
right,
it might
because
not
you
be
can only
one,
backslide
but,
three picks.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, so it might not be number one, but it's going to be pretty good. And it's,
so,
man, that trade. Oh, God, Lord.
I what was the genesis of that? What were they
trying to do?
Okay,
do you want to? Here we go. I just loaded it up because it's always a fun to look back. So,
all right.
July 12th, 2013. This is Kevin Garnett.
A day which will live in infamy.
It will live in infamy because the Boston Celtics traded Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Jason Terry, and DJ White to the Brooklyn Nets for Keith Bogans, Marshawn Brooks, Chris Humphries, Chris Joseph, Gerald Wallace, a 2014 first-round pick, a 2016 first-round pick, a 2018 first-round pick, and Boston has the option to swap first-round picks with Brooklyn in 2017.
Which would be this pick, and
which
obviously...
Which they did, yes. Yeah. Which they did. So, yeah, so they still have that 2018 first-round pick coming. They had the 2014 first-round pick. They got James Young, who, that wasn't that good. And then 2016 first-round pick, they got Jaylen Brown, who's fine. He's a good little asset. Like, I don't know if he's going to be a star, but a decent little asset. And, you know, yeah, it's more about accumulation. It's not like they've had a ton of really great guys in this, but, I mean, when you realize that they gave up, you know, Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Jason Terry, who were, you know, approaching their mid-30s and did absolutely nothing for Brooklyn.
Right, that was after the Big Three, and they were breaking it up.
Yeah, this Big Three is long gone. I mean, the Big Three won their title in 2008. I might have the year wrong. 2008 or 2009. I'm pretty sure it was 2008.
So you are fully almost 5 years removed from the Big Three.
Yeah, it's over. I mean, that's the corpse of the Big Three. It's obvious.
And you're
that's
trading the
anymore.
Corpse for three future first-round picks. Because Brooklyn, what was it? Brooklyn just wanted to sell tickets.
That was Prokhorov. Remember the crazy Russian?
Yes, the oil baron.
Yes, exactly. So he just went like nuts. So he had like just recently bought the team, I think, and it was just going absolutely haywire. I mean, like that's when he grabbed Joe Johnson as well, and like the idea was to pair Pierce, Garnett, Jason Terry, Joe Johnson, Darren Williams, like that was going to be their core or whatever. And like, yeah, on paper it sounds good, but then like all these dudes are old and not that good.
Right, then they're 34, 35.
Right, so it's like, it was a bizarre trade. At the time, like, I remember I was very vocal of like, ooh, this is really not going to go well for Brooklyn. At the time, there were a lot of people that were like, no, like, you know, you're going all out there, you're trading for these guys, you're trading to win this year. And I was like, yeah, you know, the problem though is if you don't win this year, you're fucked. And that's exactly what happened. It was like, all right, here we go. Oh God, we're not good. Oh God, we're ruined. Oh God, it's awful. And like, it became awful right away. Like, within a few years, it was already a complete train wreck, and now you owe them, you know, because these are assets Brooklyn could use to get better, and now they can't get any better because they don't have any draft picks. So it's
right, because they could have Markelle Fultz,
right? Which would, and then you're looking at Brooklyn and going, okay, here we go, we got something going here, and no, they can't. Like, so I mean, they got to like the Eastern. I'm looking at their so they were 44-38 the first year. They got to the Eastern Conference semifinals. The year after that, they were 38-44, missed the playoffs. And that's pretty much. Oh no, they made the playoffs. They lost in the first round at that. And then the year after that, they were 21-61. So then it just completely fell apart.
Then
we're at this year, and it's 20-62. So they made a semifinals, and they made a first round, and then that was it. That was all that they got from that. So,
well,
that's not going to work out well. So,
and the Celtics then turned that around, turned this pick, the pick in this draft around. They still have the 2019 or 2018. First overall, but they flipped that pick, traded down to number three, and the 76ers have moved up to number one overall, odds on favorite to go number one overall again, Markelle Fultz out of Washington. And Rich, what did they this is weird, because in the world of the NBA, where you can't trade consecutive first round picks unprotected, but then you can attach all kinds of weird pick protections and if then statements, and then then, and if not, then this, and if not that, then this, and then eventually, if not any of that, well, then you're just screwed, like the Bulls, then you get this pick or not, or blah, blah, blah. So they've traded down two spots to number three overall. They're still picking in the top three of the NBA draft, which many say is loaded, and now are loaded up for 2018 and possibly 2019 first-round picks. Is that right?
So the 2018 first-round pick is I think the protection on it, and a lot of these details are still kind of trickling in as we're doing this, but as far as I understand it, with the information that we know now, is that's protected for like the number one overall pick. But that's like it. So then if it's anything but the number one overall pick, I think the Sixers or the Celtics rather would receive that. So that's the
from
Lakers.
The Lakers.
From the Lakers. So it's okay. The Lakers gave it to the Sixers, who gave it to the Celtics, and it's protected, I think, number one overall, and that's it. Not exactly positive that is how it is, but I'm fairly sure that's what it is. And then there's a bunch of other weird stuff too, that if that 2018 pick, you know, does go number one, the Sixers keep it, but then the Celtics get the 2019 pick from the Kings.
Sixers also hold.
Yes.
So
essentially these two, it's confusing as fuck, because these two, the Sixers and the Celtics, have like everyone's first round picks for the next like 3 years. So they're just like trading these random picks that like, and to try to follow where these picks came from and what's protected, it's just an absolute mess. Essentially, the Celtics have the potential for 7 first round picks in the next 3 drafts, which is just insane.
And only 3 of those 7 would be their own.
Right, yeah, because they got like a Memphis pick, they got, you know, other Boston picks, they got Brooklyn picks, they got Sacramento picks, they got Clippers picks. It's just, what the hell? It's just so weird.
And so, let's see, it looks like the Memphis first is protected in the 2020 draft for the top 7 spots, or top 6, but then it becomes unprotected in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And if the
and it's for the first 9 picks in 2019 as well.
Okay.
The Memphis picks. So.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So, I mean, it makes your brain just hurt. So it's probably better to just look at like this year or next year. Like, so 2017, they have the third pick, of course. Then they have, you know, 37, 53, 56. Those are pretty relevant for the large scheme. 2018, they have their first round pick. They have Brooklyn's first round pick.
Unprotected, by the way, because this year's draft pick was the protected one by the swapping rights.
Exactly, yes. And then 2018, they also had the Lakers first overall, if it's 2 through 5. That, I believe, is a separate trade, too.
Okay.
Which is just, I think so. I don't know. I'm so confused.
Right, and if they don't get the Lakers pick, then they get the Sacramento pick in 2019, unprotected. No, there's protection on that.
Yeah, so here's where I got confused a little bit. So that Lakers one, so stick with us here. It's so hard to understand this. Okay. So, and this is like basically us playing our NBA 2K games right now.
Right, no, this is how I operate. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. If I can protect it top 10, because then you have to play that game where you have to decide, is this team going to be super crappy in 2 years, and is it worth it to try to go for the unprotected pick, which is the better asset to hold, or do you allow them the top 5 protection, because you're just looking at that point in your arc of your franchise, are you going to be looking to fill out depth or find a role player for your squad? Yeah, this is exactly, because that's what I said on Twitter. I'm like, this is exactly how I play NBA 2K.
Yeah, which is amazing.
And I always feel bad, because I'm like, oh, I'm breaking the game. This doesn't happen
in real life.
But now I have free license because it's happening in real life right before our eyes. This is great.
So that Lakers pick. So the one, okay, so the Sixers owned a Lakers pick and they sent it to the Celtics in this deal. That's the one we talked about before. That one is protected if it goes 2 through 5. So essentially the Celtics only get it if it's between 2 and 5. If it's first overall, the Sixers still get it, which is an interesting wrinkle there.
Right, because the Lakers, Sixers are still protected.
So if the Lakers are horrible this year, just awful this year, which, you know, good chance they are, the Sixers, even though they just traded that pick to the Celtics, could get it back as a first overall pick.
Yep.
Which, Danny Ainge, it's not a really good pick. I would have maybe had that 1 through 5 protected as opposed to 2 through 5, but...
Right.
Just in case. Like, the Lakers could very easily be the first overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes back to the Sixers, and the Celtics don't get that. So, That's strange. Yeah, I didn't. I so I'm glad I saw that, because that is not how I thought it was. I thought it was. So that
does that lessen the blockbusteriness of this trade for you?
Yeah, I mean,
do you look
at
Danny Ainge now?
Like you're saying though, so if the Lakers, because I don't know if the Lakers are going to be the worst team in the league. Like, there's a chance that they could be, but like, you still have Brooklyn, you still have quite a few other, you know, few teams out there that could be worse. But still, I mean, you don't have to be the worst team to get the first overall pick. You could be the sixth worst team. You know what I mean? Like. That's a risk, man. I don't trust those balls to go exactly where I want them. You know what I mean? Like,
and here's the other thing too, is that is it only 2 through 5? Like, if it's one, the Celtics don't get it. If it's 2 through 5, the Celtics do get it. But if it's 6 or later in the lottery, or wherever it falls
to the draft, yeah,
then it goes back to the Sixers, and then they convey the Sacramento pick for 2019, which is unprotected.
Exactly. Right, which, so it's actually interesting, and it could kind of play into what we're going to talk about a little bit later with the Paul George. Like, you know, there's a hypothetical chance that the Lakers are actually okay this year if, you know, they get their way, or, if, you know, if something does happen with Paul George, which, again, we'll talk about here in a little bit. So, yeah, I you know, I'd start out with this discussion as a blockbuster, but now, the good news is the Kings are probably going to always suck, so at least you'll get the Kings pick, and that'll probably suck too. So
right, that's the backstop of this whole thing, is that Kings pick.
Like, literally, I never think the Kings are ever going to be good again. So
watch this whole thing. Through this whole thing, the Bulls trade Jimmy Butler to Sacramento for some reason, for, I don't know, a bevy of second-round picks.
Right. The always coveted second-round picks. Yeah,
that the Bulls love for some reason.
Yeah, then you can get like the 4-year college guy, because like that's when the 4-year college guy goes, like, yeah, he's good, he can fit in our system right away. And it's like, yeah, but he's like 24. Like,
yeah, but no, but he's ready to play right now. But yeah, but he's not good.
Yeah, like,
he's not good right now.
He's ready to play now, but that doesn't mean he's good. Like, I'd rather take the guy who's not ready to play. Markelle Fultz will probably not be ready to play day one. But by day 30, he'll probably be ready to play.
And here's my question. Like, does Markelle Fultz just announce now that he's not going to play in 2017-2018?
Because now he's an official. Yeah, he's an honorary Sixer. So
right, honorary Sixer. Like, does he have to go to the same foot doctor?
Right, he's just going to get a knee scope just because, like, he's fine. He feels okay. But he's like, take out my meniscus now. Why not? At some point. Like, similar to, like, the baseball Tommy John thing, where, like, people have said, you know, hey, if you're a high school pitcher, it might be worth it just to get Tommy John. Like, it's asinine to think about. But, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you're going to be a Sixer, you might as well just get your knee scoped, or get to fracture that incredibly odd bone in your foot that.
The Jones fracture or whatever. Yes. The old Jones fracture. Or just get, like, you know, get, like, microfracture surgery for no goddamn reason whatsoever. And, like, you know, just. I don't think they do the microfracture surgery anymore, which is a good thing, because everybody that came back from it was like horrible. Like,
Joakim Noah had that, didn't he?
I don't.
Or was he rest? He was one of the first guys, I think, that had they were worried about the microfractures in his foot, and they said, you know what, dude, just rest.
Yeah, because we're not going to cut you. And a lot of it would be like the knees. They just go in there and like create like a bunch of like cracks in your knee to like alleviate pressure, which is like, what? Like, who thought that? And thankfully they don't do that anymore, because yeah, like Chris Webber got it and like couldn't move anymore and like couldn't run or couldn't jump or whatever. I think Jermaine O'Neal had it too. So there's a bunch of guys who got it and then like immediately had like no athleticism whatsoever immediately following it. So yeah, probably good idea. But yeah, he should definitely just go in and get a knee scope now.
But you know, on paper now, obviously I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of Markelle Fultz playing in Washington. Like, there's few things that I'll watch late at night sports-wise. Like, college football, I'll watch late-night West Coast college football, and I'll watch late-night West Coast baseball.
Yeah, like, Hawaii just, you know, throwing their nuts out there and passing all over the place.
Right, you've got UCLA and USC now, just just going balls out, air raid offense. It's all right, fun, I like it. But I am not going to watch late-night West Coast college basketball. I'm sorry.
Yeah, hot Pac-12 basketball.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Washington, Oregon State action going on. Like.
Right. I don't know who any of these people are. I'm not going to see them on my television screen professionally outside of Markelle Fultz for probably quite a while. And I'm just putting the do not interested sign on it. I'm not interested in it. It doesn't move the meters for me. But watching highlight reels, obviously, when this trade has gone down and they're showing Fultz and how he navigates, you know, through the lane, and how he, you know, how he'll use his shoulders to kind of throw guys off. I saw that on ESPN Sports Science yesterday, which, by the way, you know what? If you want to save money, ESPN, how about you stop paying whatever you're paying to that guy to hire a professional dodgeball team to throw dodgeballs at Markelle Fultz while he's dancing around with the basketball. I mean, whatever that costs is too much. It's way too much.
The hair gel alone for that dude probably, like...
Right? I remember when that was...
Skews the ledger a lot. Like, you could probably save quite a bit by just, like, either getting him hairspray or, like, yeah, making him, like... Or you're just telling him, like, hey, buddy, this hair gel's... You gotta chill out on this.
This is not the hairstyle anymore. It's not.
Yeah,
it's not the cool hairstyle anymore.
He's got, like, the...
It's the front, like, the front spike that everybody
right,
did.
Yeah.
Like, everything's going forward except, like, the first... quarter inch of
the
hair
ramp, yeah,
at the front of his head,
ramp,
which is
yeah.
like poof, straight up, which I used to do, but then I realized it's not cool anymore.
Yeah,
I look like an idiot.
It's not 2005 anymore. I need to get a different
right
hair.
Yes, I like, because first we used to do that in the 90s and early 2000s. It was that plus frosted tips. Then we lost the frosted tips.
I feel like this guy still has frosted tips, right?
No, what's I don't think he does
name? I feel like we should okay I guess
no, but remember, it was a neat show. The Sports Science was some, I forget where it was on, but it was a 30-minute odd sports cable show where the guy would say, this guy accelerates like a Top Fuel dragster. And I'm thinking, okay, cool. I don't know what difference that makes in me watching sports. I'm not going to watch any other person coming off like the defensive edge and be like, "What? You know what? That was like an alcohol-fueled funny car right there. You know, in those first three steps, he gained more ground than a top-fuel dragster does with three turns of the wheel. Did you know that? Yeah, I bet you didn't. It's not going to make any difference in my life." And then ESPN gave him a bunch of money, and now he's doing every single thing. It's now we go to. I want to say John Anderson, but no, that's
John Brinkus.
I think John Brinkus. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at him right now. I'm trying to figure out his credentials here to see if he's. Like,
does he have a science degree of any kind?
I'm not sure. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to see. I feel like he's just a dude that's like.
Right? Because. Yeah, is it like that weird thing where you find out Bill Nye only has a bachelor's in some kind of science?
Yeah, because everything I find out says producer and director, but it doesn't say like. You know what I mean? There's like, when you look his name up, it comes up with film producer. Is like, doesn't say, you know.
Oh, so is he a, you know, is he a BS sports scientist?
I think we might have it. I don't know.
Wow.
You know, his Twitter account says nothing about it. It says ESPN sports science host, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, bestselling author of The Perfection Point, host of Brink of Midnight podcast, musician, DC sports fan, plus science geek. I feel like if you have a pretty big degree, you don't say science geek.
No, you put up science professional or something.
Yeah, or you put up like your
credentials.
Your degree.
Yeah.
Like, you don't say science geek. I like science. Like, Neil deGrasse isn't like, science is cool.
I'm a science geek.
Look at all this shit that I did. Like, I teach at all these places. I'm amazing.
Right. I have 3 PhDs in astrophysics.
And... not like, ooh, planets are cool.
No. You see, I'm a science geek, but I'm not on television
as a proposed, you know, as a, you know,
on a show called
purported,
Sports
yeah.
Science, although I guess you don't need an advanced degree to do science. I think that's a common misconception, but still, you'd like the guy who's being the front man for Sports Science to be,
you know, have some sort of science background,
to have something, like, right? And
he's
but
definitely,
you know,
got, like, liberal arts, yeah, he's definitely just like me that like likes, you know, if I hosted a stats like yeah, I could host a statistics like show, but like you'd probably want a guy that actually like,
right,
know,
I can do linear regressions and all that, and I can kind of fudge my way through regression analysis, but I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know actual like t-tests and, you know, best fit and all those things. I barely remember that stuff from school, and I don't even have the degree in it. All I have is AP stats. That's what I'm working with, and I would hope that the sabermetrics guys have actual some kind of math degree, right? Wouldn't that be what you want from your experts?
Ideally, yeah. I mean, not just like.
And there's another one.
It,
does
yeah.
Joe Sheehan have a math degree? Any kind of
probably not. No.
STEM and.
But he's pretty like. But there's a difference between.
He
like
just
Joe
does. He has fun
he's
with like
an
play
analysis,
index and.
Right.
Yeah,
he
that
does
kind
analysis
of okay.
based off stats versus like.
He's not coming up with new stats.
Right, like John Brinkus, I don't know, maybe we're being a little too hard on him, but...
No, you know what? He deserves it, because stop saying musician. Nobody cares. Nobody's coming to watch your band.
Right.
You know, this all this crap started, too, and I don't mean to cross streams here with other stuff in the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network, but goddamn Jericho. Fozzie sucks.
Fozzie is terrible. Yeah, there was a revelation, I think it was last year. Fozzie is horrible, yes. There was a revelation last year where, and I think I told you about this as well, like, Fozzie was playing at a bar around us.
Okay.
It was, like, not a, it was a bar that, like, I forgot the exact name of the bar, but it was, like, not a big bar at all. You know, like,
not a big venue.
Not a big venue. Yeah, it's like, you know, my friends could play at that same bar tomorrow if, like, they just rolled up and were like, hey, can we play here on, like, this date? And they're like, yeah, sure. Do you want to get paid? Like, not really. Okay, that's fine. Well, it's like that sort of place, like a gig bar venue place. And it was like, Fozzie's coming here. And I was like, dear God, like, Chris Jericho, like, maybe you don't want to do this music thing. Like, if that's the level of venues that, like, Fozzie plays, like, I assume that he was in, like, at least low-level, like, concert venues or whatever, not, like,
House of Blues
bar.
On a Tuesday?
Right, like yeah, like, some, like, a venue that's a big deal, but he plays on, like, weird days, and maybe they open for a bigger band or whatever, that's well and good, that's fine, you're a musician if you do that. If you are playing, like, bar gigs, and, like, have to, like, break in at a point to let people know that, like Bud Light buckets are, you know, $10.50 tonight or whatever. Like,
by the way, check out our CDs at the back. Our CDs are on sale. All our singles.
It's the same thing with, like, guys that do cover bands and they try to sneak in a single there every, like, one of their originals every once in a while. Like, all right, this is one of our originals. Boo.
Yeah, I feel so bad for cover band people because it's just like,
play Brown Eyed Girl again.
Yeah, Sweet Caroline. Like, oh,
more
God.
Springsteen.
Like, because, like, their licenses are the worst. Like, they're, it just, the problem is you get paid to do those. Like, I have a buddy, you know, David, he does, and he's in, like, four or five different bands or whatever, but then he has one band where he makes all of his money, and they do, like, live band karaoke.
Oh, my God.
And he hates it, and it just kills him to do it. Because everybody just
But is the money just too good to turn down?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's just like, he just has to be a whore for the money, and it's just like, he just has to go here and play, like, Born in the USA, and, like, Sweet Caroline, these, like,
and the karaoke part
songs.
Oh my God, like, the karaoke part's like a second swift kick to the nuts.
Exactly, it's just like, ugh,
oh
God.
My,
like,
God, that's,
he says, he,
awful,
like, he passes it up a lot. Like, there's a lot of opportunities where he's just like, you know what, no, it's no,
right, like, if he's
money.
Ever short on rent money or whatever, he's like, all right, fine, I guess I'll go do this. Jesus, that's awful.
But, like,
yeah,
he plays those, and it's like,
like, if you're like, trying to cut your teeth in the business and trying to get into the business of being a musician and music, dive bars are the place, are a stepping stone. Whatever your path, you play a dive bar at some point. It could be on your way up. It could be on your way into the business where you're trying to just get, you know, you're trying to play a Tuesday night to earn $45 to go home and turn the heat on or whatever. Or it could be on your way down where you're like Bruce Springsteen and you're just doing surprise shows where your cachet in the business is, you know, people say, holy crap, did you know Springsteen just showed up at this dive bar and did like a 3-hour show? And people then ask you to do it again and then you can charge $600, $700 a ticket. Jericho is neither of those things. He's a guy, and he's Jericho. He's Jericho on Monday nights. Like, he'll play at the Allstate Arena and be Jericho, and then Tuesday night he's Chris Jericho, frontman for Fozzie at a dive bar in Crystal Lake or something. So it's and
you
so
got admired a little bit, I guess. I mean,
I admire
cool,
the dedication. I do. As somebody who, you know, creates media or created media for money for a living for a while, I get the dedication to it. And I understand on a fundamental level the idea that you just got to get your grind on and you got to go and play your music and do your thing. And you can't get bogged down on the fact that you're not playing Wembley or you're not playing a sold out United Center or Wrigley Field or anything like that. I understand it. But you're Chris Jericho, and you could go headline SmackDown Raw twice a week and make whatever you can make and not force people to listen to your crappy music because you have a, you know, you have a bunch of Twitter followers and then you think that entitles you to be a musician because you, I don't think you really have a background to be any kind of musician. Did he do any of this in Japan? Do you know, you've read his books?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think he just is like,
I'm a musician now.
Yeah, like
Bruce Willis is
a
musician now.
Right, like I love, you know, I like, you know, hair metal, so I'm a musician now. So
yeah, Johnny Depp did the same thing. Johnny Depp's not a musician, and Johnny Depp forces his band. Johnny Depp forces his band on everybody. Like, hey, I'm gonna play here. Damn it! Like, at least we get to say Johnny Depp's at the function, but you know, and then okay, all this Johnny Depp, Chris Jericho,
John Burkus.
Not John. John Burkus is neither of those people, though. He doesn't have the cachet of anybody. He's just right. Like, whoa. He's like Len Casper. Len Casper, TV voice of the Chicago Cubs.
Brinkus is his name, by the way, not Burkus. I'm sorry.
Oh, John Brinkus. I was thinking.
Screw him. Yeah, he doesn't need to.
No, but he's like Len Casper. Len Casper's got a band that shows up and he starts playing bass for people. And Theo Epstein is like, yeah, I can play. So, well, I don't think anybody really wants to hear. See you people play your music. So, you know, even if you know how to play guitar, I don't think that warrants putting it in your Twitter bio as like musician.
Right, musician, yeah.
Right? Because there are a lot of things I can do that I don't put in my Twitter bio. It's like, well, you know what? You know, I can make myself a sandwich or some spaghetti and I'm not like, pasta chef. Yeah. I can do it. I can
do a lot
of
yard
things.
Work, but I'm not like a horticulturist, you know, like
right.
I dug out a giant bush over the weekend. Like, I suppose I'm, you know, an enthusiast of the outdoors. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I've rock climbed once before. In
oh, you have?
Indoors.
Oh, wow. So
I mean,
you're
yeah. So I'm
so like, when you know, are you going to K2? When's that happening?
You know, any other? You know, other than my like horrible fear of heights. Yeah. Once I get over that, pretty soon, hopefully. Yeah.
All right. Now we talked a little bit about the NBA draft and heading into recording to the show, this show. We had a Woj bomb. Does this count as a Woj bomb? I've been out of the Twitter game for a while.
I don't know if this is a Woj bomb. I think is like boom official. Like this has happened. This
okay.
guy like
okay.
when, Thursday is all Woj bombs because you're just like boom. This guy's getting drafted.
Okay,
boom,
let me change it then. Woj.
Like,
what would you call this?
I don't know. Like a Woj rate. Like well, what would be the the bomb's coming? What would you?
Woj siren?
Maybe a
there
Woj
it is.
Siren. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, like
the
air raid
right. yeah,
siren.
Like, just
yeah.
let you know that, like, we think a bomb might come. Like, it's not here yet, but there's reasonable, like, the 50s things where it's like,
right,
yeah, we don't
like,
know if the Russians have really launched off a nuke, but, you know, there's a strong possibility they have. So, you know, maybe get under your desk because.
That'll save
Jimmy
you.
Butler might be get traded. So
right, this is from Adrian Wojnarowski via Twitter, and I checked. It is a real Woj siren. Quote, sources, Chicago's price for Jimmy Butler remains elevated, but Minnesota has assets and interest. Sides made preliminary contact this week, end quote. And following that were a bunch of local beat writers covering Chicago Bulls basketball that tweeted out about other teams that held interest, including somebody who said that that the Cleveland Cavaliers were interested in working out. Rich, you tweeted this to me, or you texted it to me, a picture, a source called the Score, not 670 The Score, but a different news outlet was reporting that the Cavaliers were interested in a three-team deal or trying to figure out how they could work a three-team deal that would land them Jimmy Butler. So now since Woj tweeted this out, now all of a sudden a whole bunch of teams are listening in on Jimmy Butler and trying to get Jimmy Butler to come play basketball for them. Do you have any confidence at all that the Chicago Bulls are
no,
serious about
no.
moving
well,
Jimmy Butler?
We do have a new Woj bomb that came as of the recording of this show 3 minutes ago.
Oh, crap.
David Griffin, the Cavs GM, is out. Just couldn't agree on future. So his contract was up. LeBron Ooh. Made some weird, like, hey, we should resign this guy. He's done a really good job thing, like, over the offseason or whatever. But he just couldn't agree on the future. Sources say, and now this is the bomb part of it, Chauncey Billups expected to emerge as candidate.
Chauncey?
What?
So, okay, so basically what you're telling me is NBA 2K My GM is, like, real life now.
Right, because, like, if people haven't ever played the NBA 2K, like, offseason, like, when players retire, they just, like, start, like, filtering into, like, the staff. And, like, usually my assistant coach ends up being Vince Carter, because, like, why the fuck wouldn't I, like...
Right.
And, like, I'm not sure if he really wants to be, but it's just like, hey, Vince Carter, you want to be this is good? Like, I guess, yeah, that's pretty cool. And, like, you can hire ex-players as GMs, and you can do, like, a bunch of weird, wild
my
shit.
My best
like,
was Kobe Bryant as my chief financial officer.
Incredible.
I just imagined Kobe's like, yeah, man, the Mamba got his MBA. It was absolutely great.
I would like it better if he didn't actually have that. And he just sits there and he's just like, I don't know, man, just like sell some more shirts or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, I know he knows a lot about stuff, but he's like, man, I don't know.
Like, hey, Kobe, what's our EBITDA? What? I'm not hungry. I don't know what you're talking about.
But no, Kobe's probably, he's pretty good. Like, if you were going to hire a chief financial, an ex-player as a chief financial officer, I feel like Kobe's a pretty good one. Because that dude, I feel like from day one, like, was well aware of, like, a lot of the ins and outs of the business of basketball. But I've never, ever thought of Chauncey Billups as a GM material for a team that just got done in the NBA Finals.
Right. And is going to need to make some acquisitions to figure out how to topple the Golden State Warriors led by Kevin Durant, which is not a small task.
How much older is he than LeBron? Like,
well, LeBron's, let's see, Chauncey.
Looking it up right now. Chauncey is 40. Isn't LeBron 32?
Right. Well, I mean, age is just a number.
Like, just literally make LeBron the GM then, right?
Player GM.
Like, at that point, don't even hire. Because are you?
Is that what you think that that's LeBron's guy? Is Chauncey?
Like, are they friends? I've never known that they're to be friends, but apparently they are. Yeah, is that just like a let's hire a completely out of his league guy, and then like that dude is just going to be like, yeah, whatever, LeBron, like whatever you want, you just tell me. But like then I would, if I was going to do that, I would just hire like a number cruncher dude. You know what I mean?
Right.
And just be like, hey, LeBron's going to tell you a bunch of stuff. You see if you can make it happen, and then you make it happen.
My goodness, Chauncey Billups.
He's not even good at, like, talking about basketball. Like, he's terrible at, like, the studio stuff. I mean.
That's right. Who does he sit opposite, Jalen Rose?
Tracy McGrady a lot of the time.
Okay.
And they're bad.
Was T-Mac going to be the assistant GM, too, now?
Might as well, yeah. I'm trying to think. Kenny the Jet Smith is you know.
Now, listen, I mean, there's nothing to indicate that Chauncey Billups couldn't do the job.
No.
However, there's nothing to indicate he can do the job.
Right, in that era of, like, because that used to be, like, old basketball players used to be GMs all the time and be, like, management, and that was, you know, the same for all sports. But more and more as it's gotten more complicated and as it's the NBA and MLB and NFL and all these have sort of become, you know, these huge, giant businesses or whatever, like, the idea of having an ex-player who might not be super qualified and might not know all the ins and outs or whatever isn't always the best idea. And it's not to say that these guys are idiots or whatever, but their life has been playing, training for, you know, basketball. And, like,
right, yes, putting on the basketball show. Yeah.
But knowing how to protect picks and, you know what I mean? Like, that's, you and I just try to do that for 15 minutes or whatever. Like, is a Chauncey Billups going to have the patience to be like, all right, tell me, you know, I don't know that he is. So, oh God, another Woj tweet just came in. What?
Make sure it's real.
God, it is. Billups has relationship with Deanne Gilbert and Ty Lue, and sources say he'll be considered president of basketball operations who'd make GM hire. What?
So now Chauncey Billups is your basketball czar?
What the hell is going on? So he is not the GM. He is instead the president.
I want to know if LeBron is involved at all in these discussions. Because
can
you imagine if he isn't?
Yeah, this is a weird.
And Dan Gilbert's just like, hey, LeBron, by the way, here's president of basketball operations Chauncey Billups, who's now hiring the GM. And Tyronn Lue is involved in the discussion, and you're not. Uh-oh.
I don't know what's going on. Uh-oh.
And you touched on it here, and it's a perfect segue because we talk about old players being GMs and are they able to adapt to that different mode of assembling a basketball team. And Larry Bird's going to have to make some tough decisions now after Paul George decided to go public and tell the world that, hey, I'm under contract for this year, for 2017-2018, but after that, I'm done. I'm out. And I don't want to be in Indianapolis. I want to be elsewhere. And did he give a landing spot? Did he say Lakers?
No, he gave a landing spot. He said the Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah, well, this is per Woj again, because Woj is the
right
man. And why doesn't somebody just hire Woj as GM? Like, let's be honest. Let's cut through this shit and just hire Woj.
That would be good. Right?
Like, he knows everything. He's got everything. He knows trades before they happen. He knows draft picks. I mean, that would be...
John Paxson would be like, hey, Woj, I want to leak this to you. Oh, damn it, you're the GM. I forgot again. Son of a bitch.
Right. Oh, nuts. But, yeah, so he... this is from the Vertical, and Woj said, you know, all-star forward Paul George has informed the Indiana Pacers that he plans to become a free agent in the summer of 2018 and will leave the franchise, preferably for the Los Angeles Lakers.
And that tweet should have been accompanied or should have been prefaced by Paul George and his agent have informed me that right. that they have told the Indianapolis, the Nana Pacers that he doesn't want to be. What's the move here? Because I see that. And I see that happening, and I think, do you want to put a gun to Larry Bird's head and say, trade me now and get something for me? Is it a last-ditch effort to try to get the Pacers something in return for Paul George? Or is it I want to let teams know now as we enter into the draft, as we enter into all this, I want teams to know now that after next season that they should have a nice cap cushion available to absorb what I'm assuming is going to be a max money contract. Is he trying to let teams know now to start arranging the deck chairs for him, or is he trying to force the Pacers' hand and say, listen, get me on a team that can win right now because I'm, how old is Paul George, 29?
28, 29, I think, if I remember correctly, though. He came in pretty young, so he might actually even be younger than that.
Oh, he's 27.
Okay, there you go.
So get me on a team that I can win with now.
Yeah, the way I read it is, because I've heard a few different theories, and I guess what some people have said is this is more or less George, after a few years of sort of hinting it towards Larry Bird, and I think Larry Bird stepped down a few weeks ago, and now I think it's Kevin Pritchard that's running the show there, but this is essentially still Larry Bird's kind of baby in mm-hmm. a sense. So I think it's essentially Paul George saying, hey, for the last like year or so, I've kind of told you I don't really want to be here. You can kind of notice that I'm still not here. Well, now it's time to kind of do something if you really want to get something for me. That's what I've heard of some people say, and it makes sense because he's already kind of called his shot as to where he wants to go. He says he wants to go to LA. He's from Southern California. He's mentioned many times before that playing for LA would be one of his dreams or whatever. So I think he's already called a shot that he's going to LA. Mm-hmm. So I think that in a way, I don't know that he's necessarily telling other teams, hey, get ready for me, I'm coming. Because then you wouldn't say that I want to go a place. You wouldn't tell Woj, preferably X or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you would just say, I'm planning on leaving this offseason or whatever, just so you know.
And right, because going public with it would hurt the Pacers' ability to move you.
Right, and that's where I get confused about this, because I've heard people say, well, no, he's just trying to help the Pacers out by saying, hey, now trade me because I'm definitely leaving or whatever. But saying it publicly and then declaring where I want to go essentially destroys your value, because then, like, say there's a team like Orlando. Like, I'm just throwing a team out here. Orlando, who has the assets to give to the Pacers, and I don't know that they do. I'm just, you know, kind of throwing a team out here. Well, then if Orlando reads this and goes, say they were interested in trading for Paul George 2 weeks ago, knowing full well he's gone, let's get a one-year rental out of him. Maybe, mm-hmm. maybe we can convince him to stay. You know, maybe if he makes, because if he makes the All-NBA team, you get this extra, you know, boost that you can give him and a few more dollars that you can give him that might convince him to stay or whatever. So maybe in Orlando says, hey, look, we can throw all this out here and say, hey, you know, we know you want to go to LA, but here's what we can offer. Here's the da-da-da-da or whatever. But if he's already called a shot and says, I want to go to LA, like, if you're Orlando, are you going to give anything worthwhile to get Paul George for a year knowing full well he's not going to stay? That he's already kind of said preferably,
right.
which preferably means I want to go there. And you know that LA is you know, in a position to absolutely pay him as well. So,
and yeah, LA doesn't even have to do anything. That doesn't force LA's hand in trade.
No, not at all.
Because they say, well, listen, all we have to do is wait a year.
Right, exactly. And then we don't have to give up assets. Well, LA should go get him right now just to make sure. And it's just like, well, dude, he's already kind of said that he wants to go there. So why wouldn't you just wait it out? Why wouldn't you just have another year? And this kind of plays into a little bit of the discussion we had about the protected picks or whatever. Like, you know, in your sense, well, I guess I'd have to see if the Lakers even do have a pick, because I wonder if it's even worth it to them to kind of tread water this year and then, you know, sign Paul George and then go for it the year after, or if it's worth it. Because, yeah, there's no reason to give up any assets right now. If Paul George has said, I am coming to your team, why are the Lakers going to give up anything of worth to Indiana to get him there? So the only scenario where this works is if there's a team out there that wants 1 year of Paul George, be it the Cavaliers, be it the Boston mm-hmm. Celtics or whatever. Those are the teams, I guess, that this only helps. That maybe Paul George wants 1 year on one of those teams.
One year, with a shot to win with the Celtics or the Cavs.
I guess, yeah. I guess that would be the only motivation here, because that's really it, because you've destroyed all your trade value with your middle-of-the-road teams, your teams that could build around him. Those teams, there's no building around Paul George right now. You know what I mean? There's no scenario where you trade for him and you're not the Lakers and you're going to build around him because he's kind of said, I want to go there. Maybe the Clippers. Maybe the Clippers could go out there and say, hey, look, I know you want to play for the Lakers, but what about us? We're the, you know, we're right. LA too. Like, that's, you know, but I think he really wants to play for the Lakers because he wouldn't have said, I prefer to play. So it's really weird here. And I don't know if he's maybe upset that he didn't get traded earlier, or I think a lot of it too is that he didn't make the All-NBA team. And if I don't know if you followed that, but if he at least made the All-NBA third team, the Indiana would be able to give him a huge money extension. Mm-hmm. They give him 5 years, 207. The best now they give him is 5 years, 177.
Mm.
So that 207 is well beyond what any other team can give him.
Right.
The 177 is not that much different. A lot of teams can give him, you know, relatively close to that. So maybe he was going to wait out, and if he made the All-NBA team, he would have said, hey, look, you know, I'm playing in Indiana. I don't love it, but, man, $30 million is hard to pass up. It's a possibility he waited until that, and now it's just like, hey, look, I'm out of here. But I don't know why you would go public with it. That's where I'm a little confused.
Yeah. Is Chauncey Billups, his newly minted Cavs GM Chauncey Billups, going to be able to manage the remaining trade exceptions that the Cavs have to work out a deal to get to rent Paul George to try to topple Kevin Durant, which probably won't work, by the way. But it doesn't, because we know where we can guess where it came from, and it seems incredibly likely that this came from Paul George's camp, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense because, you know, the benefits to Paul George are only downstream. There's no immediate benefit Paul George that the media knows this now. Now, maybe the media would have found out anyway, and they just want to get it into the bloodstream before the draft. I don't know.
It was largely, I mean, pretty much for the last 2 years, it's kind of been obvious.
People have surmised that he doesn't want to be there and wants to get out of there.
I can't totally blame him either. So I don't know. I guess maybe this could be, I don't know if it's positive or negative. It could be either way. You know what I mean? Like, it could be a positive of, hey, Indiana, just let you know I'm out of here. So, you know, do whatever you can to get something for me, anything for me, because I'm bouncing. Which is a possibility. I mean, maybe there's a team that throws, you know, even a minuscule offer at Indiana, and they go, hey, well, what's there to lose? You know, cool,
right.
We'll take one first round pick, like whatever, you know, we'll take, your young point guard or whatever. Why the hell not? We'll take anything. Cause he's just going to leave anyway, you know? So maybe that's a possibility, or it could be a negative where he's like, hey, look, I've given you guys plenty of chances. I've made it known, you know, not saying outwardly that I want to be traded and you haven't done anything. And that, you know, that could go down at Larry Bird. And that's, again, you know, an example of an ex-player who in large way, the pace and the style of NBA, you know, GMing is maybe passed him by, and that's why he's bouncing and getting out of there. And
yeah, it'll be interesting. I know there were, I don't even know where these rumors came from. Was it Stephen A. Smith who said that the Lakers, there was a LeBron to the Lakers possibility? Did you see that?
Yeah, I don't know if that was Stephen A. or it might have been Woj again. Yeah, it was that the Vertical was saying something that's something that he's looking to do. And I don't know. The problem is you don't know who Woj is working for, because he's like, yes, he's a journalist, but he's also got all of these connections.
Right.
And to protect, and that's part of journalism too, is to sort of protect and help. And, you know, there might be things where, hey, like LeBron's team says, hey, you know, tell him that he, you know, let the Cavs know that he, you know, he's interested in going to the Lakers or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it could be a simple call where somebody in LeBron's camp goes, you know, hey, throw this out that he, you know, he's interested in going to the Lakers. And then that makes the Cavs go, oh, shit, okay, well, hold on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that. So the problem is Woj, like, the GMs kind of play him like a fiddle, and Woj kind of plays them like a fiddle too. So it's this weird, like, this is so unique to any other sport. Like, this just doesn't happen in other sports at the same level that it does with Woj.
No, I'm looking through his Twitter timeline now. I can't see anything on the LeBron.
Yeah, I don't know. Lakers, I forgot if that was him or who that was.
Lakers thing. Yep. Oh, there's a new Woj tweet.
Oh no. We should do a show on Thursday where we just react to a new Woj tweet every time it comes in.
Cavs. This is Cavs front office had difficulty in trade talks this week, constantly needing to address Griffin's future with rival executives. Tough spot. So just giving some background info on the. On
David. But I know in the past LeBron is kind of championed David Griffin. I think he said, hey, no, this thing got built because of him. So, you know, I hope that they can do business. So that's.
I'm just trying to imagine a world where LeBron leaves Cleveland again.
Yeah, we were talking about this. I was talking off air with a few friends, and it was like, I really, like, no matter, even if, like, the situation got so bad, like, can he really even do that without, like, a PR disaster? Like, what would it take for Cleveland, like, if Cleveland just absolutely was just like, fuck you, get the hell out of here. Like, that's pretty much the only way that it would work.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think that he could just, like, leave on his own accord and it not be just a complete PR disaster. Whether right or wrong, I don't agree. I think it's fine if he decides, hey, the situation sucks, I want to go to X or whatever.
I need to get right and get with a team that can actually.
Man, the hot takes. Can you even fathom the hot takes? Jesus Christ.
Maverick Carter strikes again.
Yeah, and, like, people have said, well, he won that one championship, so the hot takes won't be as much. And I was like, you are out of your goddamn mind. That dude averaged a triple-double in these NBA finals. Basically single-handedly at least gave them a little bit of a fight against one of the greatest teams in NBA history, and people were like, ah, LeBron's 3-5 in the finals, what an asshole. Like, like, it's been the last 7 finals, like,
right.
Like, there are children, there are people listening to the show that were like 4 years old the last time LeBron wasn't in the NBA finals, and, like, people are like, oh, I don't know, this legacy, I mean, if he can't get it done now, it's like he averaged a triple double, like, like, one of the greatest NBA Finals performances of all time. I don't know about this LeBron fella. Like,
right. Despite being in an awful position to try to win a championship, coming off of a championship run, right? Just, like, by the other team adding Kevin Durant, immediately the Cavaliers were one of the worst matchups to try to repeat.
Mm-hmm.
And
like, deep dives into his legacy. I don't know about that. I mean,
was he really responsible for those Heat championships?
Right. Let's
he needed two other superstars there too. I mean, Jordan didn't need any superstars. Kobe didn't need any other superstars. Right. Aside from Hall of Famer Scottie Pippen wants to say hello, and so does Hall of Famer Shaquille O'Neal. But besides those guys, yeah, right.
So yeah, I don't know if you can withstand the PR disaster, but
no. Yeah, maybe you can.
We're kind of, I don't know, I guess strap in. It might be happening.
I would love that NBA. I would love that NBA where LeBron leaves. I mean, not to play the villain again like he did in Miami. And I think he's learned from that. And I think much of the derision of LeBron came from the pompous nature of the decision. I think a lot of vitriol was brought on by that. So back-to-back finals.
My thing would always be LeBron is like the mercenary where he just goes to a different team every single year and, like, tells them, like just lets, like, the team know that he's gonna go there, and they have to just, like, clear their decks. Like, they're not prepared in any way, shape, or form. Like, he's just like, hey, Sacramento, I'm coming next year. And they're like, oh god, like, we have a lot of kind of, like, we can't afford to, like, he says, hey, I need to be paid the max.
Right, I've got to be paid max money
now. Right, and I'm coming to your team now or whatever. And so, like, Sacramento's got to be like, oh, shit. Like, all right.
Yeah.
Like, they're just, like, making wild trades. Like, they're just clearing the decks. Like, that would be my dream NBA. Maybe he doesn't add the max because then, like, it causes disarray in those teams. But at least says, hey, you know, I'm coming. I got to get paid a little bit. You got to clear the decks a little bit. But just spins a giant wheel every year. And it's just like, all right.
Well, wherever it lands.
Oklahoma City, here I come.
Where will LeBron go? All right. Oh, the Nets this year. All right.
Brooklyn in the house. What's up?
What's up, guys? Oh,
maybe Jay-Z will reemerge. Remember when Jay-Z was like, I own the Nets. And now
he doesn't know. Yeah, I remember.
I think he still owns the same part of the Nets that he did before, but he was.
What is it, like, less than 3%
of
the Nets?
Yeah, it was never anything, but it was like Jay-Z and the Nets. And it was like, you know what I mean? Like, he was like that was his team, and he's front row, and it's like, oh man, he's a mogul, and now they got bad, and he's just like, nope.
No, he can't even be bothered to show
up. I only own 2%. I mean, that's barely. I just go to the
It's an investment.
Meetings.
It's an investment right. vehicle. It's a place to park my money. I mean,
yeah,
come
I get
on.
The letters in the mail, but I don't really vote. I mean, you know, it's just like, you know.
I abstain most of the time. I abstain in absentia. I have no idea what's going on or the day-to-day operations. I have no input, nothing
Man,
to say.
That guy was Mr. Brooklyn Nets for the first 2 years.
There with that? The hat with Beyonce next to him and doing
the
thing.
Oh, we've done black and white. We've done this, like, cool branding. We play cool music during the games. We play, and now it just fucking goes down. It's just nobody there.
Jay-Z brought in Barclays to sponsor because he negotiated the deal. He's negotiating all these deals. And now,
I guess he sold the Nets. Oh, never mind. Okay, well. Oh, that's right. Okay.
He sold them?
Apologies to Sean Carter. Because remember he got in the sports agency game?
Oh, that's right.
he's an agent, so he can't own the Nets anymore. So I apologize, Jay-Z.
He had to divest.
Yes, he did. So I apologize.
Good. You know what? Good on Jay-Z and looking out for his clients, making sure that there's no hanky panky going on.
They have a Jay-Z rule. They have the NBA instituted a Jay-Z rule in 2015 that if you own even a little part of a team, you have to sell it. So.
Do we really have to go down the road of naming every little rule after the person that inspired it?
I enjoy it. I don't know.
You've got the Bird rights. You've got the Derrick Rose rule. Yeah.
You mentioned that you can't trade two picks in consecutive years. That's the Ted Stepien rule.
Right.
Cavs GM just kept trading picks. And they're like, dude, stop. That's the days I want to go back to. It's like 80s NBA. Where the guys had
not
no
valuing the draft at all.
The draft, they had no. They're like, who the hell
cares? This guy
sucks. Give me that 34-year-old small forward. They're like, I need that center. Like, they're just trading first overall picks, and it ended up because that was like the Celtics. You know, this is actually the anniversary of Len Bias or whatever, the Len Bias' death or whatever. The Boston Celtics won the NBA championship, and then they had the first overall pick. Just, teams were so stupid, and they were just like, hey, take that. But I guess Brooklyn, you know, the Celtics were the number one overall seed, and now they have the number one overall pick. So I guess.
Yeah, well,
we've evolved, but have we? So,
we're gonna move on here to as we get ready to close out this episode of the KMP show, going all over the place, spraying all fields here. But we have to talk about a player that we've been high on, Rich. I think you and I have been high on Aaron Judge for a while. I don't think we called it. We didn't call Aaron Judge. I'm not gonna say we did that. But I think you and I were both at the beginning of this year.
I think even last year. I think it was, if I recall correctly, the Futures game last year.
Yes.
We can find the text maybe. I think it was something like he hit a big ass dong and we were like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That guy just hit a big dong.
Because he's 6'8", and then I looked up his scouting report and he's one of the very few players to ever have a true 80 power tool ranking. And I thought, oh my God, this guy might be really good. I mean, if he can actually put the barrel of the bat on the baseball, unlike Joey Gallo, if he can put the barrel of the bat on the baseball, he might be very, very good. And as it turns out, had a hot start to the season. And, you know, when somebody starts out hot, I'm very, especially at the beginning of a season, I'm very hesitant to go, look at him. But I think we're past that point now. We're 65 games into the season. Aaron Judge has appeared in 65 games with the New York Yankees. And his current batting line, 335, 445, 699 for a 194 OPS plus with 23 home runs and 53 RBIs. I think not only a Rookie of the Year candidate, he's an MVP candidate.
Oh, yes,
far.
Absolutely. He leads the league in runs, home runs, RBIs, walks, OBP, OPS plus, and total bases. Like that, you know, in terms of your basic stats or whatever, I mean, he's got it right there. And that's something that, you know, MVP voters would definitely look at is, you know, those, you know, not that we necessarily agree, but we'll get to it in a second. You know, the advanced stats, he's right up there as well. But yeah, you look at home runs, RBIs, on base, OPS. I mean, those are things that your standard MVP voter would probably look at. And he's doing it in New York, too, which don't let that, you know, go away,
right,
too. This is, you know, the rebirth of a sense of the New York Yankees as they're, you know, retooling, getting younger, getting better, you know, sort of building up a potential dynasty of the future, whatever. That's a big deal, too. Doing it in New York and not doing it in Arizona or doing it in Colorado or whatever. That's a big deal, doing it in New York. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's crazy to say he's an MVP candidate.
And holy hell.
Favorite right now, yeah.
Holy hell, he might compete for a Triple Crown.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Which
leading know, in home runs, leading in RBIs, yeah, two of the Triple Crown categories, and he is fourth among qualified hitters, according to Fangraphs, in batting average.
Who's above him right now in batting? I don't have it in front of me.
Daniel Murphy is at 345. He's number three overall. Ryan Zimmerman is 349, number two. And Buster Posey,
oh, wow,
352 batting average. And Judge leads the top, oh boy, well, the top 30. By far in BABIP at 431.
Yeah.
431
though,
batting
to be fair,
average.
And because I've seen some things be like, oh, look at his BABIP. Like, maybe he's getting lucky or whatever. And BABIP is usually an indication of luck or whatever. You know what I mean? Because people that don't know, it's batting average of balls in play. And usually anytime you put a ball in play, there's a certain level that it usually, you know, goes out to where you get a little lucky on. The problem with him though is he hits it so fucking fast and hard, and I can reasonably expect that he would have a higher BABIP.
Yes,
like a guy like Miguel Cabrera is the same way too. It's like he's always had a really high BABIP, and it's like because there's probably balls that hypothetically the way that they're being hit, where they're being hit or whatever, should get turned into outs. But it's like he fucking scorches it at 200 miles per hour, and you're like, I'm not touching that. Like, forget it.
Yeah, they say there was a, I think Tom Tango put it out there. It was called Solving Dips. I want to say is the paper that it was. It was Solving Defensive Independent Pitching Statistics, DIPS. And they found through some statistical wizardry. Again, these are guys with like actual math guys. No, like we talked about at the top.
These are the hardcore dudes. Yeah.
Right. These are guys that went to Dartmouth or to Stony Brook and like those big time math schools. They said that batting average on balls in play, a difference in batting average on balls in play, a deviation, only about like 20 to 25% of it can be explained by luck. Like pure luck, we cannot differentiate this from anything. So if you have a BABIP that is 20 points over the league average, they say about 20% of that can be unquestionably attributed to luck. But the more and more you sustain BABIP above batting above the league average, I believe if I read it correctly, that it in an odd way it becomes less and less about luck and more about skill.
Well, yeah, because it becomes sustainable then. Like after 60 games of being 100 points above the league average, it's like, all right, that might be a thing. Like you're not, it's impossible to be that low.
Right. You might still regress, but your true skill level in terms of batting average on balls in play, what skill level, how you can influence it with your skill in striking a baseball is more than the league average.
Right. Yeah,
like a guy like Mike Trout.
Yeah. Over the next 2 months, it's not like Aaron Judge, like half of his hits are going to then just fall in people's gloves all of a sudden now. Like, that's probably not going to happen if it hasn't happened already, which it's not, because he's an eater of worlds, and we all are just living in this.
Well, are you ready for this, though?
Yeah.
I don't have the split in front of me. I'll have to find it. His home run to fly ball rate on the season is 41.1%. It's gone up. I'm a contributor now for Fansided. It didn't even mention that, but
plug away, sir.
Woo, yeah, fansided.com, call to the pen. I'll be slinging hot takes multiple times a week and got something cooking there. Might be bringing some daily content to Call to the Pen as well, so you can check that out at calltothepen.com. But I believe when I wrote the piece about Aaron Judge 2 or 3 weeks ago, is his home run to fly ball rate was 40.2%. And so it's... It's gone up.
Which is already ridiculous. Like, that's already, unfathomable.
Yes. That is, yeah. That's, it's pretty good. Rich.
Especially in a juicy ball era, too. Like, that's, like, yes, the ball is juiced, but he is above and beyond, everybody else, too. So.
Yes.
And I do like it. We'll have to talk about that sometime in a few weeks, but Ben Lindbergh had another piece where he was able to dive in and somebody somewhere admitted, the balls are juiced. Like, we all knew.
Right.
It.
They
and,
found a little bit of something.
Yeah, because we all fuck it. I mean, come on.
Right.
It's just like...
In terms of what describes it. All right, since we last did a show, we're gonna find his home run to fly ball right here. Since we last did a show, Aaron Judge's home run to fly ball rate is 37%. Ooh.
Uh-oh. Plummeting. what a bum.
Yeah, right? Falling off.
Hit some homers. Why don't you swing up a little bit, Aaron?
Yeah, you're going to adjust that swing plane.
Have you ever heard of launch angle, buddy? my favorite part about him, too, is not that he's just an eater of worlds and destroying ball, but then with StatCast, too, it's just the longest home run, the fastest home run, the quickest one out. Like there was a week where, every single day, he set a new StatCast record. That was the longest one, 504, and then that one went out. He had a home run that went out in 13 seconds. and then he had the velocity coming off the bat. It's just insane. It's just the stuff he's doing is just out of this world.
Okay, here. So in his 46.2% over his last 82 plate appearances. So over the last, we'll call this 15 games. Over his last 15 games, he's up to 46.2 home run to fly ball rate. So he's figuring it out.
Yeah, it's, he's adjusting to the league. Yeah, the league has not yet – like you were saying at the beginning, usually at this point in the year, you get the league has figured this guy out thing. You know what I mean? Like where guys are just these unbelievable monsters or whatever, and then like something happens, especially with a guy that's super young or whatever. Like teams realize, all right, dude, this kid cannot hit. You know, put a curve on his hands, he can't hit it. Or, you know, do a two-seamer out of the zone, he'll just chase it or whatever. Something will come up. You'll get something about this guy. You have got nothing on Aaron Judge. He's getting better. He's getting stronger. He's as he's feasting on our corpses, he's only getting stronger. And that's
right. That's giving pause to people around Major League Baseball. And I want to take a look at his
like there was that Jeff Francoeur. Remember when there was like the 2 months of Jeff Francoeur?
Where yep,
like,
I remember.
This guy's a legend or whatever, and everyone's like, "Dude, he can't hit breaking balls." Like,
just wait until people start throwing him sliders,
and then people started throwing him sliders out of the zone, and then he chased every single one of them, and he's been chasing them out of the zone for the last like 10 years, which is funny because he still gets jobs because people are like, "I don't know," like that one guy, and it's like that's probably not like you have 600 plate appearances that tell you that's not true, and then you have like 30 that tell you this.
Yeah,
and so many teams are like, but that 30 though. Like, what about that 30? What if we get that 30? It's like, you're probably not going.
So, on curveballs, Aaron Judge is hitting them better and harder than he was in 2016. He's hitting sliders about the same.
Okay.
He's hitting fastballs and two seam fastballs a lot better than he was in 2016.
You know what I mean? Like, I would never.
His O swing percentage in 2016 was 33.6%. Okay? Out of every single, he swung at 33% of balls he saw outside of the zone. Do you know what it is now?
Two. I don't know. It's probably very low, right?
25.3.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, is he's not an like, sometimes these power dudes are just idiots that just swing, you know, like your Mark Reynolds types, your, you know, guys that just swing wildly and swing like maniacs. Todd Frazier, you know, in Chicago, we see that all the time, where he just swings all the time, and like sometimes he gets a home run, and it's cool. This guy, I mean, walking at a great rate, too. I mean, leading the league in OBP, like...
Yeah, that doesn't have... OBP doesn't technically count for... Or home runs don't count for OBP.
Right.
I don't think. Because you're not on base.
Well, no, I think they do.
Do they?
I think they do. Yeah, because that's how I'm almost positive they do. But either way, like you're not the top tier like OBP guy.
All right, let's walk rate. League lead in walk rate is Aaron Judge is fifth overall at 15.5% among qualified hitters. So there you
if
go.
You throw it in the zone, he's going to hit it very far, and if you don't throw it in the zone, he's going to let it go and then take a walk. So you're screwed. So just give up.
Oh, man, where's my guy, Miguel Sano? Oh.
Uh-oh.
Miguel, you're falling back down, buddy.
He read your article and he got a lot of pressure in the news.
Well, his BABIP of 46% was... I mean, he had a BABIP even higher than Aaron Judge. His at one point was 460-something. And I just... All right, bro. Like, that's not... there. Especially if only because with how often he swung at the baseball.
Right, yeah. He was just swinging. Like, that was a guy who was just like, I'll swing every time. I'll hit some dingers. That'll be fun. And I don't care about anything else. Like,
yeah, so I wrote the premature has an MVP candidacy, which I will stand by.
Hey,
because
if you're
at the time,
hot takes, you got to sling hot takes. You got to shoot your shot, man, right?
Right, exactly. You know what? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Right.
That's what Michael Jordan told me via... Well, I mean, not in person, and not over the phone either, or not via an email. It was more via an inspirational poster that I saw, I believe, at the dentist. I don't know why it was at the dentist's office.
Yeah, well.
Which at the time, now that I think back about it.
Accomplish at the dentist?
Yeah, you know what? That seems like a bad sign that you want to see at the dentist's office. Like, do you want to believe that your dentist needs that for motivation? Like,
yeah,
well,
like, you know what? I don't know if this is going to work, but I got to find out. Yeah.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You know, those root canals turn septic 100% of the time if you don't drill that motherfucker wide open. So let's just, you know, I don't think the dentist should have had that up. But yeah, you got to sling your take when you have the take. And I slung it and I stood by it at the time, but. He appears to have safely gone back to Earth. But that has been our brand new segment. I don't think we even agreed on a name on it. I just threw it out there.
I like Judge's Chamber. That's pretty good. Because it's also a scuzzy bar in Peoria that I've gone to many times.
Oh, my God, it is?
Yes, yeah.
We'll
have to do a celebratory Judge's Chamber drink at the end of...
So we're at the end of the season, we're going to drive out to Peoria?
Yes.
I don't want to
lovely
go to
downtown Peoria.
Yeah. I don't want to go to Peoria. It scares me. It scares me. Should it scare me?
The judge's chamber will scare you. Yeah, that is a scary place.
Okay.
When you're done with this, go down to Yelp and look up judge's chamber Yelp. And yeah.
Oh, boy.
Are you looking at it now?
Well,
do it now. Yeah, do it on here. Why not? It's
Google's going to finish my it's got 5-star review.
No, I think that's a different judge's chamber.
Oh, okay. Oh, there it is, Peoria.
I don't know that many people that come there actually take pictures. So maybe it actually has zero pictures. It's a little maybe do a Google Images. Maybe that'll work for the judge's chamber.
Listen, you know what? No Wi-Fi is somebody's complaint on Yelp. And it's like, listen, you bitch. All right? Not every place is going to have Wi-Fi for you to connect to. All right? Get a damn unlimited plan.
Not the judge's chamber, yeah.
Right? You're in Peoria, goddamn Illinois. Like, you are a stone's throw from, like, real, real country bumpkin town. And you're, there's not enough Wi-Fi for me to connect and write my Yelp review and put things on Pinterest.
The judge's chamber, man, like, drinks are like you get like say you get like a whiskey and Coke or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that thing's 3/4 whiskey, a Ooh. Shot of Coke, and it's like $1. Like, they don't have fucking Wi-Fi. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, guys walk in and like it's one of the places where like guy walks in and the bartender like gets their beer ready for them. You know what I mean? Like, you are.
Oh my God,
like,
I got to send you this picture. That dude, where's my phone? Did you search judge's chambers on Google?
Yes.
Did you see the picture of the bartender, of the blonde bartender?
Yes, I've
the female
well.
Blonde bleach yes. blonde mullet.
I forgot what her name is, but yeah, I've yeah.
You think she's nice? Well. Is she nice?
No, she is nice. I can confirm that she's nice.
Oh,
I've been because I go there every year for the Illinois high school basketball championships.
Oh, okay,
they go to Peoria, so that's where I saw Jabari Parker this last year because he was walking around on crutches and looking very depressed because he had torn his yellow gun. So I was like, oh boy, like. But yeah, then we always go to the judges. There's Hoops Pizza, which is actually very good pizza, believe it or not, in Peoria. And then like right next to it is the judges chamber, which is I initially hated the judges chamber because then I was creepy as fuck, which it is. But I've learned to enjoy it now.
Oh wow, it's so far south in Illinois. It's got a Cardinals Bush beer.
Yes,
light up
Cardinals.
Sign.
Yeah, it's Cardinals town there. Like,
oh boy, that's not that far south though, Peoria.
But you know what, man, they're.
They love them some Cardinals. I think I might know why.
There's a demographic that tends to.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So. And there's this club down the street. It's called Purple. I wonder what that's all about.
Oh, that yeah, I've never.
That looks like a not nice place.
Yeah, I've never been.
That looks like a place where
there's
you
also,
can.
Across the street, there used to be a really scuzzy strip club named Big Al's. Which is a great name for a strip club, by the way. And there was one time where me and my buddy were walking around there, and there was, I guess, some kind of like a sandwich board guy that was out there trying to get you to go to Big Al's or whatever. Well, he handed us like $10 and was like, all right, you know, first dance is on me, guys. And we were like, all right, cool. And then we like got out of his sight and then went across the street and bought pizza because we didn't want to go to this because we don't want to go to a Peoria strip club. Like, I think strip clubs are the stupidest thing in the world anyway.
Yeah.
Because like
agree.
I can get erections and not be fulfilled on my like every other time of the day. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Any day I'm at the grocery store, I'm like, wow, that's a hot mom. Like, and you know, that's the same thing. Like, it's just like, all right, well, there you go. Like, nothing to do there. Like that is not hard to do, to be like aroused and then not. You know,
and then
you know
not
I mean?
Not finish. Yeah.
Right. Like that I could do that on my own time. I don't need to pay you to do that.
You know,
like,
most of the day I'm not coming in my pants.
Right, exactly. Right.
You know, I don't need the tease of wanting to but not being able to.
Like, wow, those are nice boobs. Well, okay, I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. Like,
but the odds are is that at a Peoria strip club, you're not seeing nice boobs.
Exactly.
those are very lumpy boobs.
So A, I don't like strip clubs. B, I don't like Peoria strip clubs. Because it's in Peoria. So, yeah, I always avoided Big Al's. But they had knocked it down and built a hotel. But now Big Al's moved to the outskirts of the city. Because
they realized
the downtown strip club was probably not the best.
All right, so here's the plan. We're going to do a remote from Judge's Chamber where we will do the Judge's Chamber segment.
Yes, yeah.
And we will stay at this this nice swanky hotel in downtown Peoria.
Yeah, it's a nice hotel. That's where Jabari was staying. So.
Oh, all right, cool.
He wasn't. He was at that bar. But then the funniest thing is, so he was leaving this bar, and I'm doing like this name drop thing, and it was really not that big of a deal. But so he's leaving this bar, and he wasn't drinking. He was just kind of hanging out with people, whatever, because I guess the Simeon where he went to high school, they were all staying at this hotel or whatever. So a car rolls up. And mind you, he's got crutches, and he's obviously just had like ACL surgery not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
He gets in the car as the driver and drives. I was like, there was like three other people with him. I was like, could somebody drive for the NBA player who just had ACL surgery?
And also who was just in a bar.
He wasn't drinking. I can confirm that.
Okay. All right.
Jabari did not look like a drinker, but I just thought the idea that I was like, why is he driving? Like,
seems an odd thing, right?
Like, was it, I don't think he. I don't. If I was,
was it his
player,
driving leg?
Drive.
Did he have?
Yes.
Was it,
no, I don't know.
That doesn't seem like a good idea.
No, it was like you're with guys and you're an NBA player. Like, I'm not driving ever again. You know what I mean?
Right.
Once I'm in the NBA, I'm in that back seat and I'm hanging, and your asses are driving me wherever I tell you to drive me.
Right.
A.
Yes.
B. I just had ACL surgery, so maybe it's not a good idea that I drive.
Maybe I should double down on the having drivers to drive me around.
I cannot extend my leg fully or bend it fully. Maybe somebody else should drive on the highway. I'm going back to Chicago.
Oh, that's right. He was probably driving back to Chicago. Or
Milwaukee, yeah. Or Milwaukee, yeah.
Got a Peoria to Milwaukee. Dude, you're Jabari Parker. Just get on a damn plane, bro. What are you doing?
This show's got to go. This is off the rails. But
all right.
I was going to pick it up. I'm looking at Big L's in Google image search. And I click through, and there's a thumbnail with an obviously naked woman.
Uh-huh.
And the title of the video is Afro Man Live in Peoria, Illinois, Big Al's. So, A, how is this, like...
Well, I think we got to go to Peoria now to catch Afro Man in concert at Big Al's.
Hold on one second. I'm going to send you this link in this. Nobody's listening anyway anymore, so we can just...
No. Yeah, we're about an hour and a half in. I don't think... We cannot let her hair down.
Click that.
Oh boy. Yeah. Okay.
It's just a boob, right?
Yeah, just a lady flashing Afro Man, I think.
Yeah. Why is that? Why is that on YouTube? Like, that hasn't gotten picked up? Like,
I think it's blurry enough that it. But what could that? Is that like? Does YouTube think that's a wart? Is that a?
And this person who uploaded the video is well aware of what it is and has chosen that as their thumbnail. Which is a smart idea, because now I'm watching Afro Man live in Peoria. He's drinking many 40s. And, oh, no, okay, hold on. Watch the video.
Oh, boy.
She's very naked a lot of the time.
All right,
this
hold
is
on.
Not a...
Hold
there
on.
There is no blurred. Jump ahead to one...
All right.
120 in the video.
You know, we were just talking about having an erection and not being able...
I don't think this is going to do much for you, to be honest. I mean,
all right, here's Afro
like
Man.
Nice woman, but...
Oh,
so go to 120 in the video.
Yep. Yep. They're out. Oh, she's got the beer bottle in between.
YouTube can find this out, right? Like,
no, dude, yeah. The YouTube should be able to know those are boobs.
You and I would record a video, or you would record videos back in your YouTube days, and like, if somebody in the other room was playing a song, it would get picked up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, oh yeah, oh
like
yeah.
Your girlfriend would be listening to music in the other room, and they're like, "Oh, that's a Bieber song." Like, your video's mm-hmm. locked or whatever. This woman is just blatantly throwing the movies out, and that is not a problem.
What I just want to know, you know, even if you really, really like Afro Man,
I don't blame her. I mean, Afro Man is fantastic.
Okay, great. That's great. What is accomplished by you bringing out the girls at a concert and then going with the booby sex pantomime of putting the beer bottle in between right. your boobs and then squishing the boobs around the beer bottle? I just want to know, what are you doing? Are you trying to signal Afro Man and saying, hey, Afro
yeah,
Man,
these are yours. Yeah.
Here
all
are my
yours,
boobs.
Pal.
I, you know, let's reconvene later. And then here I will show you what you can do with this beer bottle or, well, you know.
Yeah. Replacing a beer bottle with. My favorite thing about that is, though, is as she's doing that, everybody's looking at Afro Man. attention.
Nobody pays attention because you know what? No. She probably has her boobs out all the time.
Yeah, they might know her, and that's a frequent thing. Or they're just like, dude, this is a once in a lifetime chance to see Afro Man live.
Oh man, I saw a fade, and then I saw like a flash fade. Like this is a produced video.
This is a good video. Yeah. This is solid here. So
that camera guy was like, all right, honey,
you want to make it in this business?
Is she a local? Does she follow?
They've probably all seen it. Yeah, she's probably like works at Big Al's, and they're like, "Oh, Jolene's got her boobs." Like we've seen him. It's not a big deal. Like just
she's like Afro it. Man like, hasn't seen him yet.
Yeah.
Hey, Afro Man, check these. She's really into it.
Yeah, she loves it. I mean, I'm gonna go on a limb and say she might be under the influence of potential.
I don't think that. Yeah, that's not just alcohol. That's something else.
Not that I would insinuate that if you go to an Afro Man concert, you are in any way condoning.
Right, but if you're in Peoria going to an Afro Man concert at a place called Big Al's, you're probably high on meth. Well, if your boobs, if you show your boobs, do you snort meth? Do you smoke it? I'm not sure. I'm not big on meth. I think you smoke meth, right?
You know, I'll be honest. I'm not positive. So.
All right. I didn't pay that much of attention to Breaking Bad. Yeah,
yeah, I was more into like the trade and the business, less so than the actual
consumption of the.
Yeah, so that shows where we are.
See, that's really like Chauncey Billups. Chauncey Billups would be into the actual doing of the meth as opposed to the assembling of the meth and selling it or getting others to trade for the meth. That's. But yeah, I don't understand why that woman had her boobs out. But nor do I understand why YouTube's just kind of cool with it.
Yeah, or why Dan Gilbert is per a Woj bomb from 12 minutes ago. Cleveland owner Dan Gilbert is targeting Chauncey Billups to become Cavs top basketball executive. Signed, expected to talk soon.
No
so
idea.
It's like a Dan Gilbert calling Chauncey and being like, "Hey, Chauncey, what's up, brother?" It's like, "Hey, yeah, what's up? Like, you want to be the top basketball executive for the second best team in the NBA?" He's like. I guess.
Okay.
Do I don't know. Maybe.
What am I going to do? Well, nothing really. Yeah. Just whatever LeBron tells you.
This is so weird.
Who are they going to hire as GM?
I blame Dan Gilbert for this show. I feel like the show wasn't going to go off the rails until Dan Gilbert decided to talk.
No. Until that Woj bomb.
We had it. We had a clear idea what we were going to talk about. Yep. And then we're talking about.
We had a plan. We had a. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, I want to ask you this. We'll close out the show after this, but Sam Hinkie, with all that the Sixers have to trade, and all the Sixers fans are going nuts on Twitter now, the process, there's even a hashtag RT Armageddon. They're retweeting supposed bad takes from sports pundits that were disagreeing with Sam Hinkie's process. How much of this do you give to Sam Hinkie?
Well, here's the thing. First off, they probably have to win games or have all their men.
Right, having the number one overall pick doesn't mean anything.
Like that's the problem that the alt Sixers don't quite understand is that they games happen then, and then you go to the playoff and then you win games and you do stuff like that.
Mm.
Like it's well and good to have assets and have picks and tweet these bad, but you guys haven't fucking played a game yet. You weren't that good last year either. Embiid always gets hurt, and
Ben Simmons, you had to
play last year.
You drafted him and shut him down immediately.
Right, so you got a lot of assets. It's really cool, but I don't know, maybe
time to start seeing some W's.
Or you can do this. You can go nuts when you guys are in the playoffs and winning 60 games and hey, look at this, we showed you guys. But maybe wait till the season starts. Maybe wait till the playoffs start and you're the number one seed. And a clear favorite.
Before you go on about ha, you were wrong about disliking this tanking for draft pick stuff, idiots.
Because
little premature.
Yeah, but that's kind of been alt Sixers this entire time. They just kind of
is that what they're called, alt Sixers?
That's what the contrarians and I'm going to consider myself one of them as well. Because while I enjoy what they did. They did it in such an the problem is the fans got so into it and oh, here we go. Anytime they would trade somebody, it's oh yeah. And they would just these bottom barrel players they would bring in. It's oh, this is all the process. It just got too much for me. I was just all right. You gotta, there's gotta be some results at some point, right? You can't just do the, they've been tanking for years now. It's all right, cool. I'm glad. But in the NBA, you shouldn't have to tank for 6 years to get good.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep, that's true.
Our off seasons. We can do it in a year, baby.
Exactly. Yeah.
We do it all the time. In a year. We go from 10 wins to 60 in a year, baby. So.
Well, that's because, well, and a couple times of restarting when we get screwed in the draft lottery.
Well, but. I mean, that's bullshit. Yeah. I mean, So, unfortunately, the Sixers were not able to do that. And they
can't restart. Damn it.
No.
Did it autosave yet? No? Okay, fine. All right, close this bitch out. We're like, running it again.
Like, he just jumps over his little, like, because he's sitting there at the lottery and just, like, jumps over and, like, hits the table and, like, knocks down the poster board. And he's like, no. And they're like, dude, you can't do that.
Do it all over again.
Yeah. I want number one. But I don't know. Yeah, they got all these assets. It's really cool. And, like, yeah, I guess Hinkie does deserve some of the credit. But, like, let's maybe let them win games first before we.
Okay. Yeah,
they've done what they've wanted to do. But here's the thing that's always been the weird thing with the Sixers and alt Sixers or whatever is, like, is the goal to be good or is the goal to have a bunch of assets?
I would think the goal is to be good.
Right, but people are declaring victory on the asset acquisition, which is part of the goal of being good. But having a bunch of assets is fun, but
you've accomplished your secondary goal of acquiring assets. Now do something.
But some people, I don't know that's like, oh, here we go. We've got this. We've shown it. We're done. Like, there it is. But, like, yeah, the goal has to be being good at some point. Which is going to be fun to see, because the problem is, like, you're going to have a lot of good players, but they're all going to be, like, 19 years old.
Right.
And we're kind of seeing that with, like, the Timberwolves, where it's like, all right, here we go. And it's like, nah, we're still, like, 20. Like,
Jimmy Butler, with the veteran presence of Jimmy Buckets.
That's what they need. Well, honestly, that's what the Timberwolves probably need, that is, because it's like, yeah, we're good, but we're, like, 21 years old, so we're not that good, because, like, not everybody that's 21 is good. Like, LeBron is a rare case. So.
All right. So we'll be on the lookout for more Woj bombs as the NBA draft nears.
They're overwhelming. I'm not even going to look. He might have dropped one as we're talking now. I don't even want to look.
I don't think. I've been checking. I haven't seen anything. I think he's just giving background on stuff.
Okay.
This has been episode number 37 of the KMP Show. We thank you for listening. As always, check out Ticket Network. The MLB season is in full swing, and the number one place to get tickets to your favorite team is ticketnetwork.kandpshow.com. That's ticketnetwork.kandpshow.com. Go there for all your ticket buying needs for professional sports, and I think some college sports as well. I think they got you covered there. So ticketnetwork.kandpshow.com. You can go see Fozzie at a dive bar.
I cannot confirm that you can buy Fozzie tickets on Ticket Network, but I assume you can. So
yeah, even then, you probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
I don't think it's worthwhile. But if you're going to, if you're just going to go see Jericho, do it with us. Ticketnetwork.kandpshow.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at KANDPShow. You can also follow me on Twitter at John's Voices, as well as the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network at Voices Wrestling. For Rich Kraich, I'm John Playtech. I was going to say I'm on something.
You're on fansided.com is what you were trying to say.
I am on fansided.com.
And call to the pen.
And call to the pen. So calltothepen.com. I'll be contributing for them. I'm a contributor, not a writer or not employed by them. I believe I'm contractually obligated to say that.
Have you got sources?
Oh, all the time. Oh, yeah. Okay. No, I got people telling me all kinds of stuff about all kinds of things.
You just can't say right now.
Just can't say any of it.
Got to protect your sources, of course.
Yep, of course. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm like Woj. I'm going to be the baseball Woj.
Which I guess was John Heyman for a while, but now he kind of blows because he works for, like, FanRag Sports.
What is that place? All right, you know what? That's a different show. We'll do that show later. Yep. Next time on the KMP Show. For Rich Kraich, I'm John Playtech. Thank you for listening. We will catch you next time. We are out. Bye.